From the University of Texas at Austin, KUT Radio, this is In Black America.
The whole project is called the Better Together Project, and okay. is meant to memorialize the African-American experience. And there's three initiatives. The first one, to memorialize plantations. Second one, to memorialize our narrative in schools, like the Ida B. Wells literature. And the third one is to facilitate ideas amongst the diaspora, not just in America, but abroad. You know, I'm going to be honest with your listeners. I haven't watched the George Floyd video. Mm. Because to me, you see these things and you see yourself, and I'm serious. It is
right.
When you're really tuned in, it is traumatic. Right. And so I haven't watched it, but I said to myself, I know what I need to do. I know my lane, and I stick to that.
Kirk Brown, founder of Melanin Meetup, a national think platform where young African American professionals come together to advance and heal the African American community through data-driven solutions. In addition, the organization serves as an advocacy arm for state and local politics and profiling influence and tastemakers through its editorial arm, 7053. Founded in 2017, Brown started the organization as a way for more African-American professionals network to attain more opportunities in their respective fields. As a national think tank, they have been able to work on various projects that involve research while developing data-driven solutions to advance those within the African-American community. One of those recent projects is the Better Together Project, designed to memorialize the African-American experience of one of the first initiatives being to stop the glamorization of plantation tourism in the South. I'm Johnny O'Hanson Jr., and welcome to another edition of In Black America. On this week's program, Melanin Meetup with founder Kirk Brown in Black America.
The thing that is most apparent in, because we come from all walks of life, gay, straight, Buddhist, Christian, Muslim, which I love, but the thing that is most apparent is education. That is critical. And then what's even the beautiful thing about Melanin Meetups is you do have people from different industries. You know, some people talk about healthcare, some people talk about sciences. Some. We had an aerospace engineer guy talk about space, which is I definitely want to keep my attention on that. But I think that education, when we always go back to it, you know, what we feel connects us, or what we can do to advance ourselves and heal ourselves, it really comes down to education, and not just education in terms of going to school and going to college, right? But really understanding our history in this country. There were some people that came to that meetup and had no idea about Black Wall Street.
Established on April 30th, 2017, the weekend of the 25th anniversary of the LA uprising of 1992, Melanin Meetup are doctors, lawyers, scientists, executives, entrepreneurs, actors, politicians, nutritionists, student managers, athletes, writers, influencers, and very other young African Americans passionate about shaping our future in the 21st century. Their purpose is to create a safe space where African-American professionals can connect to share experiences, ideas, and insight in order to heal and advance themselves and their community. Cohesion is required. According to Brown, after the 2016 election, there was a strong desire for us to connect, as these were bound to be unprecedented and challenging times for our community, like never before. We recognize the need to be cohesive to better understand ourselves. And not only as we are facing domestic challenges, nationalism and systematic racism, also impending global challenges, as well as internal challenges such as mental health and self-care. Recently in Black America spoke with Kurt Brown.
Originally born in Frederick, Maryland, both of my parents were military, traveled around the states, and then got to Virginia, and then my mom was just like, you know what, I'm not going to move anymore, so we're going to stay here. And then my dad did his thing. Then from there, went to school at University of Pennsylvania, the Wharton School, and then went to New York, worked a little bit there, and then came out to LA around 2015.
Brothers and sisters?
Yes, I have a younger sister, Cody. She's my best friend. She's a little crazy, but she's my best friend.
So what attracted you to the University of Pennsylvania?
You know, it's funny. I think both of my parents are from Jim Crow South, and for them, you know, education represented social mobility. So to be honest with you, man, I was junior year. I really was kind of like, you know, I wanted to just go to LA. So I was trying to go to UCLA. That's a true story. Mm-hmm. And then my parents were just like, no, try out UPenn. Let's see if you can get in there. And so I was just like, all right. it was either going to be that or West Point or a community college. And then I got into Penn, did the whole Wharton thing, and very challenging. But yeah, it was a good experience and met some great people.
I found it interesting some of your previous job, Viacom and Nickelodeon.
Yes. So I had an internship when I was, how old was I, 21 in New York. That was my first time like working in New York. And then after that, I worked at a talent agency, William Morris Endeavor, which is now like, it's like, the, I think it's like the biggest talent agency in the world. They're like they're huge. So
I found it interesting that, you know, this modern technology we had with the computers, I went online and saw some of the YouTube videos that you all produced. And I was particularly interested in, and I want you to kind of retell the story, because you were talking to your parents and you was asking them where were you all from, and they really couldn't give you a definitive answer?
Yeah. I think for the most part, my family, where we say we're from, is Alabama, Selma, Birmingham, and Tuskegee. And I remember when I walked into class that day very vividly, in terms of we had to make a family tree. And, you know, again, you grow up hearing stories about what happened in the South, and then, you know, you hear little bits and pieces around where you're from, product of slaves and sharecroppers and things of that nature. But I just remember asking my parents, you know, where do we come from? And these people are highly educated, and they couldn't give me a straight answer. And that was really telling. So highly traumatic, too, when you look back on it. But yeah, that was kind of like the seed that was planted that said, you know, I want to know more, and I want to begin to question a lot of things and understand who we are. So
what led you to form this organization, this think tank?
So for me, it was right after Trump got elected. I just had this, you know, with me, the way that I live my life is I say life talks to you in whispers, and something was just like, I have to do something. So I got together with a few people, young professionals, and for me, the impetus was I wanted to make sure that my community, granted, everybody's fighting multiple fights for my community against systemic racism and just advancing and healing us as a group of people, but I felt that this was my lane in terms of what I could be doing to connect industry and ideas and advancing us moving forward in the 21st century, to make sure that our narrative is respected in each and every way. I mean, it goes back to even my childhood when I walked into that classroom and had to build a family tree and I couldn't do it. It really is about us leveraging one another to figure out what that ask is. You know, some say generational wealth, some say other things, but nevertheless, creating a strong foundation of who we are, what we're about, and having our narrative be respected first and foremost. So that was the driving force.
How did you come up with the name?
The name, it was funny. It's always interesting to hear the feedback, because some people will say, what is this, a dating site? But the name itself was, seriously, the name itself,
right.
It was just about, you know, for me, I'm fascinated by just the labels that were given to us as black people, even black itself, right? Because my parents, on their birth certificate, it's colored in Negro.
Exactly.
So I said, you know, I think first and foremost, when you see me on the street, I'm heavily melanated. So that is first and foremost. And I just felt that, you know, as we move forward into the 21st century, how do we want to go by? Because now I really do feel like we have the opportunity. So it was just kind of, you know, it was kind of just a play on that, and being heavily melanated in America, and then obviously meeting up and having discussions. So, yeah.
One of the things that brought attention to me once I received you all's email, now you're in Los Angeles, and you said you had 2,200 people to sign a petition with the Whitney Plantation in Louisiana. Tell us about that.
Right. So I became a board member for the Whitney Plantation in 2019, and it's the first well-known plantation to memorialize slavery in the country. Mm-hmm. Now, there is a tourist commission down there that is actively promoting these sacred grounds, you know, plantations. And in my opinion, let me just backtrack for a second. This is what I believe about plantations. These things are sacred homes. They are on sacred grounds. They should not, I do not agree with weddings. I do not agree with people getting drunk on them and celebrating with the amount of atrocity that occurred there. These grounds are the root, in my opinion, of systemic racism. So for me, that's part of the reason why I joined the Whitney Plantation, based on what they were doing. It changed my whole life when I went down there. So I wanted to, well, now the fight is to begin to memorialize these plantations, treat these as sacred grounds in order to create a, and what I say is a sphere of reverence for my community moving forward in the 21st century. So that was the petition that you saw from our Better Together project. Mm-hmm. And yeah, so far they're slowly but surely like making little changes if you go on the site, but it's definitely a call to action for a much larger plan. So yeah.
I also found it interesting that some of the interviews that you all had on YouTube, is that all a part of the Ida B. Wells literature in public school curriculum, or that's something totally different?
So yeah, so one of our, so the whole project is called the Better Together Project, and okay. It's meant to memorialize the African American experience. And there's three mm-hmm. initiatives. The first one to memorialize plantations. Second one to memorialize our narrative in schools, like the Ida B. Wells literature. And the third one is to facilitate ideas amongst the diaspora, not just in America but abroad. So that's what you saw on YouTube for our Illuminate Speak series, which was really cool, by the way. And we have plans to roll that out, the second one in April, focusing on tech. But obviously COVID hit, so everything's a little up in the air, but yeah.
So how do you get all these brilliant minds together to come up with some of the solutions that needs to take place?
Facebook, the okay. Meetup app.
okay.
Just honestly, I mean, that's really what it is. It's just about, hey, it literally is like, you know, I try to, this Melanin Meetups on a personal note has kind of reframed how I even view life in terms of just putting myself out there. Because you got to remember, I was probably only in LA for maybe about a year and some change when the idea came to me. But I definitely, you know, put myself out there and said, hey, this is what I would like to create. There's a lot of young professionals that do want to fight the fight in different ways, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, we all have protested and we've all marched in the streets, and I encourage people to do that. But there are other ways too that we can fight this fight that maybe don't warrant an immediate change, right? But there's a long-term vision behind it. So you find the like-minded people, and then we started off in my living room, and we have these discussions, collect data, and then we just make decisions from there. So everything that you're seeing, from the Illuminate Speak to the Better Together Project, to all of it, that was all just people coming together and really saying, how can we advance our community, which is, it's powerful. So,
speaking of fighting the fight and marching in the street, can you name any particular idea or moment in which George Floyd's death has sparked such a tremendous outpouring of anger to a certain extent, but also a position of activism on the other hand?
So you're asking me, what was the specific moment in the George Floyd incident?
What do you think sparked that particular activism following Mr. Floyd's death?
Oh. You know, I mean, I gotta say, I think it was, I don't know if we want to call this divine intervention, but the pandemic, you know, it's serving as a catalyst. It really is, in terms of just people are at home. You've got 40 plus million people unemployed. It's addressing a lot of the problems in American society. Everything has come to the forefront. I think the guy in office has exposed all of that too. And that has really kind of put the foot on the gas pedal in terms of, this isn't going anywhere now. It is all here. Cause now you got the whole world. I mean, I remember when I was home, last month, I went over to my buddy's house and we watched a soccer match, and you had, I think it was Man U kneeling and wearing Black Lives Matter on their shirts. So this thing, even now as I'm talking about, I get a little chills. It's like, I honestly didn't think that this was going to occur in my lifetime, or if so, probably when I was like 45, 50, I didn't think all this stuff was going to happen so fast. But then again, I didn't predict a pandemic. So I definitely think that has accelerated this.
Now, do you all have a publication out? You got publication plus narrative. What's that?
Yes. So we have a one of our channels is our online editorial blog, which we're growing. It's called The Narrative. And essentially, we kind of frame it as the Atlantic meets Vanity Fair, but through our lens, right? And it's just about promoting new schools of thought, challenging ideas within the community, but as well as profiling leading influencers, luminaries. I mean, I think the last profile we did was on Alfonso David. He's president of the HRC, so that was really cool. But yeah, growing out that team, that's one of the initiatives for towards the rest of the year. So
how has this COVID-19 affected what you all do moving forward?
It's definitely put a pause on the actual physical meetup space, but we are going to start to do virtual meetups towards probably a later fall. I do want to have one right before the election, but and then the Illuminate Speaks got put on hold in terms of those private events. But for the most part, I mean, I think growing, you know, the Better Together Project campaign and pushing things out digitally, yeah, things change. But I mean, there's always things to seize on, if you will, or change or pivot. So that's just part of growing the company. So
we'll be back with more In Black America after this message. If you're just joining us, I'm Johnny O'Hanson Jr., and you're listening to In Black America from KUT Radio. And we're speaking with Kirk Brown, founder of Melon Meetup, a national think tank connecting African-American professionals to research and develop data-driven solutions. Kirk Brown, what research and data-driven solutions have you all come up with thus far?
So last year, we began work on, it was the start of the Better Together Project. And essentially, what I came to the group was, I said, over multiple meetups, we were taking polls about how do we memorialize the African-American experience moving forward in the 21st century, and what channels or sectors, industry, what does that look like? What do we target? Where can we gain the most influence, if you will, to push this? So with our polls, for instance, education came back. Obviously, we're in LA, so you have a few Hollywood influencers that have showed up and we're saying media and entertainment. But overwhelmingly, education was one. The next was identifying, you know, symbols, like what symbols do we have, or sacred symbols can we honor? Seriously, questions just like that. And, you know, obviously the fist came up, and then it was interesting. That was kind of it. Nobody could really name the Black Panther symbol. Obviously, that was one too, okay, but nobody really could really name a few other ones. And so that's where we were just saying, oh, wow, we need to create, we need to keep building off of this, if you will. So things like that, and just literally just, you know, pen and paper, circle this, circle that. And then obviously we used a little bit of, what is it called? I'm blanking on the platform. Survey is a Survey Monkey. I'm blanking. But using that too. And then from there, we just put together the Better Together Project. And it's so funny too, because that was in 2019. We did not expect this stuff to happen in June, because we had planned it for Juneteenth, 2020. So you can imagine when all of this stuff started to happen, we were like, whoa, it was crazy. But yeah.
Obviously, we're not a monolithic ethnicity. Are there any difference regionally or geographically that African Americans are more concerned with or less concerned with that you've seen thus far?
In terms of just...
Just terms of being Black here in America.
So, like, what differences have I seen?
Yes. Geographically, you know, are there common concerns nationally, or are there different concerns considering the portion of the country in which you live in? North versus South,
really
East versus
question.
West, as far as what's on their mind presently at the top of their, you know, concerns.
That's a really good question. And what's funny is, not even funny, what's interesting is the thing that is most apparent in, because we come from all walks of life,
right?
Gay, straight, Buddhist, Christian, Muslim, which I love, but the thing that is most apparent is education. That is critical. And then what's even the beautiful thing about Melanin Meetups is you do have people from different industries. You know, some people talk about healthcare, some people talk about sciences. Some. We had an aerospace engineer guy talk about space, which is I definitely want to keep my attention on that. But I think that education, when we always go back to it, you know, what we feel connects us, mm-hmm. or what we can do to advance ourselves and heal ourselves, it really comes down to education, and not just education in terms of going to school and going to college, right? But really understanding our history in this country. There were some people that came to that meetup and had no idea about Black Wall Street. There mm-hmm. were some people that had no idea about even things like Mansa Musu, if we want to even go further back, or even Ida B. Wells. So there's these things that we're uncovering, and it's really fascinating to see with my generation how, you know, and I talked about this before too, you know, I had an Ivy League education, but I mm-hmm. learned a lot about my history in this country, truthfully, through memes or Instagram posts. And I feel like a lot of people are beginning to learn more about that. So just focusing on education, I find is really something that we all kind of connect around. So does that answer your question?
That answers the question. How can listeners become part of Better Together Project?
So go on melaninmeetups.org/bettertogether, take our pledge, sign our petition. When you take our pledge, we send you updates of where we're at with our initiatives. And then right now we are actively beginning to expand across America in terms of establishing meetups in different parts of the country, because our voices need to be heard from all different areas, not just major cities like Los Angeles or DC. So please contact us if that is something that is of interest to you as well, too. And be sure to join our private Facebook group, too. You can just type in Melanin Meetups, and then our admin social media manager will let you in.
All right. How important is for you all organization to assist in electing African-American, I guess, local and state officials?
It's crucial. That's crucial. I think for us, I'm always about the lowest hanging fruit. Mm-hmm. So local and state is key, but not just any type of politician. We really want politicians, Black politicians that are breaking ground in different and innovative ways and have different backgrounds. I mean, we had Everton Blair. We threw a fundraiser for him out here in LA probably about 2 years ago. First person of color to be on the Board of Education in Gwinnett County, Georgia's history. Black, first and foremost. And then also queer. So that even that type of representation, I think, is powerful. And it doesn't just stop there. You know, we're working with Senator Holly Mitchell. She's responsible for the Crown Act, where you can't go into the place and discriminate against Black hair. So it's just mm-hmm. those types of politicians or political figures that are truly rewriting the narrative, whether it be representation or making sure that we're protected and you treat us with respect. And there is a sphere of reverence around us. So that's what we're all about.
On a personal note, how has these current events affected you personally?
Oh, with COVID?
COVID, George Floyd, the Me Too movement.
You know, I'm going to be honest with your listeners. I haven't watched the George Floyd video because to me, you see these things and you see yourself, and I'm serious. It is
right.
When you're really tuned in, it is traumatic. Right. And, so I haven't watched it, but I said to myself, I know what I need to do. I know my lane and I stick to that. And then in terms of COVID, I did want to say this too. COVID has brought up a lot of, I think it's doing it for everybody. Right. But, it brings up a lot of issues that you thought, you know, you had resolved. And I realize now, like even in quarantine, there are things that I had kind of let sit, right? In all honesty, was getting in the way of even growing out Melanin Meetups. I was getting in my own way. And so dealing with that, having the mental awareness to deal with those situations and to lead a company is critical too. But yeah, I definitely think America is definitely reaching a tipping point. I think it's already past that. Now it's just a matter of what do we want to create? How do we want to build it in our vision? And that's what Melanin Meetups is going to do. So,
at the end of the day, when do you realize you've had a good day?
That's a good question. It's not, you know what, it's not even like, because I'm just now starting to get like little profiles here or there, and even doing an interview like this, it's not that to me. It's when somebody like either like sends you like a message on Facebook or, you know, watches the trailer that the team put together for the Better Together project, and you just see like somebody saying that trailer like was so powerful. Like even my mom, when she watched the trailer, when I first showed it to her, when the team was done with it, she just broke down and started crying. And she was just like, you know, and she told me, she's like, some of the people that I see in the trailer, Kirk, I don't even know who they are. And I think things like that, that to me, it makes me feel like I'm on the right path for my community. So yeah, that to me is a good day when somebody reaches out and says like, wow, I didn't really look at it that way. Or wow, this really hit me in this certain way. Like, or I just think what you guys are doing is incredible in terms of just opening up our eyes and further connecting with one another. Like that to me is that's a good day for me. So
when you're not advocating for a better America, what are your other fun things that you like to participate in?
Trying to learn how to take a nap. Honestly, I'm not even kidding. I am trying to learn how to take a nap. So just with that being said, quarantine has put a pause on a lot of things. So I picked up yoga, doing breath work, just being more self-aware, I think is something that I'm pushing to do. And then also being more outdoors and discovering new things about myself. You say just trying to be a better person.
I heard that. Final question. What do you like to see this initiative 5 or 10 years down the road?
My dream is for a young black girl or young black boy to walk into their school, open up a book, and see that plantations have been memorialized, and then to also be able to take, you know, trips to the motherland, as I say, to be able to have camps in America where they can go learn about their history, whether it be a sleepaway camp or something like that. And then to truly influence social and economic policy within the country. But my dream, my heart is, you know, I know what it's like to walk into a school and to have a Eurocentric course and to have nothing really about you as an individual and your contribution to this country. And it, when you really take a step back and you look at it, like that is so demeaning. It's dismissive.
Kirk Brown, founder of Militant Meetups. If you have questions, comments, or suggestions as to future In Black America programs, email us at inblackamerica@kut.org. Also, let us know what radio station you heard us over. Don't forget to subscribe to our podcast and follow us on Facebook. You can hear previous programs online at kut.org. Also, you can listen to a special collection of In Black America programs at American Archives of Public Broadcasting. That's AmericanArchives.org. The views and opinions expressed on this program are not necessarily those of this station or of the University of Texas at Austin. Until we have the opportunity again for technical producer David Alvarez, I'm Johnny O'Hanson Jr. Thank you for joining us today. Please join us again next week.
CD copies of this program are available and may be purchased by writing In Black America CDs, KUT Radio, 300 West Dean Keaton Boulevard, Austin, Texas, 78712. That's In Black America CDs, KUT Radio, 300 West Dean Keaton Boulevard, Austin, Texas, 78712. This has been a production of KUT Radio.